The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in to the early line. It is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. And it's time for some Major League Baseball preview. Feels again like it's been a while. It's not been all that long, but the baseball board always does intrigue. But tell me yesterday, because I missed out, how was the baseball board for yesterday? Anything good? Anything noteworthy?
It was beautiful. Yesterday on Moneyline, as we used to give our picks out in the last segment of the day, it was an expensive one, a minus 158 on the Seattle Mariners, easily taking care of business. So it was a nice profitable day for Major
League
Baseball.
How about that? A little Moneyline action on Moneyline. We start today's breakdown with the White Sox and the Guardians. Yesterday, Dylan Cease was on the mound for the White Sox and lost his status as the favorite for AL Cy Young. Justin Verlander jumping back in the mix. Well, the White Sox are going to have to turn to their one-time other AL Cy Young frontrunner in Lance Lynn. Last year, if you remember, looked like he was going to be able to run away with that award. Ultimately did lose it to Robbie Ray when it was all said and done. But Lance Lynn still seeing some respect in the marketplace here as he's a road favorite against the Guardians. Above minus 150, the total for this game is a flat 8. Where do you see value here?
Yeah, Gattis is a spot start pitcher here. Not a great pitcher here in the minor league system, and also even when he did come up in the major leagues this year, didn't perform all that well. So that's the way we're going to angle this one towards. Now, usually like to bet the White Sox when they're going up against a left-handed pitcher. Gattis is a right-handed pitcher, but the matchup is really going to come down to Lance Lynn and how effective, Kevin, he's been over the last 30 days in Major League Baseball. 3.53 xFIP number, K percentage 31%, low walk rate, which is exactly what you want. And also taking a look at around, let's just call it 120 batters that he's faced over the past 30 days to lefties, a split of 220 for a weighted on base percentage. The righties weighted on base 193. ISO power numbers sensational both sides. The lefties are 101. The ISO power number to righties an 070. Even though that price is listed at a minus 154 in a team that I don't anticipate getting to the playoffs, I think Lance Lynn handles his business today and they pick up this win in the afternoon.
Yeah, it certainly does appear that Lance Lynn has been sorted out after some early season struggles. The ERA in both the month of July and August, or June and August, I believe, June and July, my goodness, were above a 6. So really he's been able to settle down in recent times and could be presenting some value here despite being on the road. The Rays and the Blue Jays will finish it off. McClanahan checks in at plus 124. Now, I know Toronto's really good and they're throwing Gausman. It just, on initial look, it did surprise me a little bit. But I see these two pitchers and I see a total of 7. Is your thoughts here an under in Toronto-Tampa?
Absolutely. That's the only way to look. 8's going to take a chance to beat you in this game. But also McClanahan, who's no longer probably going to win the Cy Young, but still having a very good year, you know, outside of just getting the final votes to win that. A 2.59 xFIP over the last 30 days in Major League Baseball, 35% strikeout rate. Look at these splits here. And this is always what's important. Whenever we look at the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin, and a handicap comes up, there's right-handed bats on top of right-handed bats on top of right-handed bats. So when you look at a left-handed pitcher, you say, great, fantastic. let's stack these right-handed bats and see if we can do some damage. Well, McClanahan's not your average left-handed pitcher, because if we just try to isolate McClanahan, who is a lefty going up against right-handed bats, and just in the last 30 days to get that pretty good snapshot here, how about this? A weighted on base percentage of 179 and an ISO power number of 114 as we welcome in the radio audience here. SiriusXM channel 159. This is the early line, Donnie right side. And Kevin Walsh talking some Major League Baseball here in the morning. The Tampa Bay squad, if we take a look at how they match up against Gausman, it's not great. Their lineup isn't great overall to begin with. And how about Gausman, Kevin? Last 30 days, a 3.12 xFIP number, K percentage at around 30%, dominant between lefties and righties.
No doubt.
Simple. It takes eight to beat me in this game, Kevin. I don't think he gets there.
Yeah, fair enough. And by the way, the race right now with the AL wild card, Toronto taking advantage of Tampa Bay. Now the top spot in the wild card, up a game and a half on the Rays. So still close, right? I mean, obviously Tampa Bay, if they were able to pull this out with McClanahan, would make this still a very, very tight game. The Marlins at home are a plus 120 underdog to the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies on the National League side of things, still in a wild card race. They're 2.5 up on San Diego and 4.5 up on the Milwaukee Brewers. Do you like their chances to keep the other two teams underneath them at bay?
I do like their chances here. And my goodness here, the Philadelphia Phillies playing bad baseball teams and continually handling their business. A team in the Marlins, which is basically a house of horrors every time they went down to Lone Depot Park and played. No longer the case here. The Phillies are playing as if they want that playoff spot first time in over a decade. And I do believe they get there, including taking a win tonight against the Marlins. Lopez will be on the mound, a 5.04 xFIP number over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball. Not a lot of strikeouts, a little too many walks. And also, how about this? Here's the key. Waited on base percentage for Lopez, who's a right-handed pitcher, is at a 432 to lefties. The Phillies could have 5 to 6 left-handed batters in the lineup tonight. Syndergaard on the mound for the Phillies. Hasn't had a great month, but we're talking about the Marlins offense, which is the dregs of Major League Baseball. The Phillies, the haves, the Marlins, the have-nots, the Phillies take care of business.
All right, how about that? Do we have time, do you think, to sneak in Athletics Astros? Or is that going to be cutting it a little too close? It's a huge number.
Houston team total and over in it. Yeah, don't look at the line there. Houston team total to get that job done tonight, and may even get enough to get those 8. But will they let Caprillion pitch is the question. Is he actually going to pitch tonight? We'll find out.
What's interesting is a lot of options are up right now, but not those team totals. So a little patience right now.
The total
is 8 versus Caprillion. We'll see how that plays out. Still some more baseball to preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview continues here in hour number two. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about some crowded running back rooms, and then we'll get you your full Thursday night football preview with the Chiefs and the Chargers in action tonight. We go, though, to the Pirates and the Mets. Pretty interesting spot here. The Mets now just swept. How about that? Swept by the Chicago Cubs. So a bounce-back spot you would think was in order, even though the Mets probably just had multiple bounce-back spots in a row. They're a minus 255 favorite here against JT Brubaker. 7.5 is the number listed for this total. What do you think about this baseball game here?
Yeah, over the past like month and a half, I haven't quite got enough, you know, grip here on the New York Mets, because the numbers that come back say they should be able to hit certain pitchers here, but every time I seem like I jump on a team total for the Mets, Kevin, doesn't work in my direction. So having said that, I'm going to jump on another team total here for the Mets at over 4.5. Going up against JT Brubaker, he's actually had a very good month here in the last 30 days. 3.89 xFIP number, K percentage above 20%. And take a look at this. Brubaker, right-handed pitcher, dominant against right-handed bats to the tune of a 269 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 121, which is very good. But if you flip it over and take a look at the left-handed bats going up against Brubaker, that tells the tale of a different story. A 355 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 286. And again, why is that important for the Mets lineup tonight? We're anticipating at least 6 left-handed batters in that lineup. Now, if we take a look at Carrasco, he should have a dominant performance against a lowly Pittsburgh Pirates team. The haves and the have-nots that we've talked about, but also the Mets. Come on now. It's supposed to be an easy schedule that continues to stay easy. You got to start picking up victories. But at the same time, I don't know, Kevin, if I'm ready to lay a minus 255 price here on the Mets after getting swept from the Cubs. Do they need the game? Are they at home? Sure thing. Well, this is baseball. You can't just go out there and say, we're a more physical team than you are. No, that doesn't work here. You got to have all your parts moving. So I do think the Mets, will get the over 4.5 runs here.
You can't just bully someone around.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do it in baseball. Sure.
Yeah. It's four games in a row versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. We are about 15 days or so away from three games in Atlanta. It's the second to penultimate series for those two squads.
Great word.
I'm very interested to see where we stand. Right now, still the Mets booked pretty strongly. And again, a -230 favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's also pretty incredible to see, by the way, we have just six series remaining in the Major League Baseball regular season, dwindling down.
It's too much.
No doubt about it. The Royals and the...
come on now.
Oh, man. Twins, listen, it's your deal, man. Twins, Royals, 8.5's the number. Dylan Bundy's got... Dylan Bundy at -172.
Yeah.
Is a little surprising, but I guess that tells you all you need to know about our good friend Daniel Lynch. Twins Royals, AL Central action. Some value here. Numbers moving up to a 9 in some spots.
And then it should be here. Let me take a look at the Minnesota Twins. That -172, a little bit pricey for me. I'm going to go run line, -1.5 on the Twins at a +114 price. And here's why. You're right. Lynch on the mound, left-handed pitcher, 5.23 xFIP over the past month, a 13% strikeout rate, which is never good. And I love this. Equal opportunity, Kevin, to smash this guy. Why? Even though he is a left-handed pitcher, he's faced 20 batters from the left side over the past month. 417 weighted on base percentage, 95 batters from the right side over the past month, 396 weighted on base percentage. Got a couple pretty good hitters there doing the lineup today for the Minnesota Twins. But going back to the Royals here, Bundy is a bad pitcher. He's got a 6.28 xFIP number. Say, Donnie, what are you doing? Run line on Bundy, a K percentage of under 10%. And how about this? Right-handed batters, Kevin, a 433 weighted on-base percentage against him through 58 bats. But how about this? Dylan Bundy, right-handed pitcher versus lefties, 47 batters he's faced. It's kind of crazy that it can happen like this, but it does. A weighted on-base percentage of only 185 and an ISO of 065. Doing the lineup today, left-handed batters for the Kansas City Royals, Melendez, Massey, Prato, Waters, Lopez, Pascarino. Dang, you can't have it any better than this. You need a bunch of righties, and of course, Kansas City is going to go all lefties here, K-Dub.
Give me a bunch of fake names all of a sudden being thrown out here trying to sneak those by me. I mean, those are certainly not people that anyone has heard of. By the way, for the Minnesota Twins, you know, we talk about the AL Central race. So they're going to finish up with Kansas City here, and then they're going to play the Guardians. Let me make sure I have this correct, because I think I do. 1, 2, 5 straight times. Now, all in Cleveland, tough spot. But again, the chance to handle your business is right there for the Minnesota Twins. That's all. What more could you ask for, Donnie? 5 consecutive games against the team that you're 5 back from, right? It's got to be now if it's going to be for the Minnesota Twins. They're being offered big prices to still win that AL Central. Cardinals, Reds, totals in 8. Michaelis has the ball at a -290. St. Louis just finished up handling their business in large part over the Milwaukee Brewers, keeping them at distance, an 8-game lead for the St. Louis Cardinals over the Milwaukee Brewers here. Do you think the Cardinals are the play here in their game versus Cincinnati?
The Cardinals are the play. They should win and win fairly easily and buoyed by their team total, which at the FanDuel Sportsbook is listed at a 5 at a +100. We'd like that 4.5 with some juice, so 5 gets you the win as opposed to that team total being at 5 where you need 6 runs to win that. But if you look at an Anderson, the right-handed pitcher on the mound here, xFIP's going to be over 5. Lefties and righties both banging him around. 415 weighted on base percentage to lefties for Anderson, 341 to righties. And this is one of the first games here. We don't have the complete lineup, but the 8 batters that are listed in the lineup today for the St. Louis Cardinals, every single one of those batters a 344 weighted on base percentage or higher. I would love to see who that ninth batter is, because I don't know if I've seen that maybe at this time of season, this late in the year, over 30 days crypt, where maybe every single batter is above average. This looks like a real clean team total for the Cardinals.
How about that? St. Louis over their listed number. It's a five, but it is at plus 100. So there's two deals there. One, plus 100, not bad. A 4.5 probably, though, could appear at some point today if maybe some money comes in on that under. Enough time, I think, to get to one more game here. It's the Padres and the Diamondbacks. You know, it's pretty interesting. The Padres at one point felt like the most interesting team in Major League Baseball. I thought that we would talk Padres baseball every day, maybe even in a football season. And things have cooled off. The Tatis situation didn't help. Now, we don't have any odds for this game.
Yeah.
All right. If we want, we can put up my favorite odds board we make, which is just the two team logos and everything is blank.
Uh-huh.
That's more than fine. But I know you have some indications as to it's my favorite. I know you have some indications as to who maybe will be available here. What do you think about the Padres and the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, you put that box out there. Sometimes they don't get that confused with DRS's head at sometimes during the show. Like, man, ain't nothing going on in this baseball game right here. But I got to tell you, like, if we have a game, now, Madison Bumgarner could be the starter, but also there are some outlets here saying that it might be Jameson, which is a younger pitcher here coming up from AAA. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, because there wasn't anything, even when I was starting initially for the show, to try to handicap and see what was what, but I had to do some research here on the last six games in AAA, and let me get the guy's name correctly here, Dre Jameson. Sounds like right out of Central Casting, 6 foot pitcher, 165 pounds. But look at this, earned runs over those past six games. This is minor league baseball. Six earned, somehow through a gem with one earned, six earned, four earned, and most recently the call-up, nine hits and seven earned runs over five innings. This guy has gotten absolutely flamed for AAA. But for the Arizona Diamondbacks, there's a question mark of who's actually going. If it is Dre Jameson, run to the window, as Kevin likes to say, to take a team total here on the Padres.
So those were his box scores in AAA baseball?
AAA baseball, yeah.
How do you get called up for that?
Congratulations, kid. You gave up seven. Get up there.
Should he even going down the wrong way? It's like the scene in Ted where the bear keeps trying to get fired, by the way, and he just keeps getting promoted.
Come on, Dre.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. I wanted to take the chance to talk about some crowded running back rooms here, because tomorrow, obviously, we'll be flying through the games, but we won't have all the props listed up. And there's some running back rooms that left us maybe with more questions than answers after 1 week of football. And I want to start with the Los Angeles Rams and their game last Thursday night. Cam Akers was booked as the lead running back for this team. His carries number was six or seven more than the anticipated number for Darrell Henderson. When you talk about over-under rush attempts, right? The yardage number had plenty of distance as well. And when the game finished up, Darrell Henderson had 13 carries for 47 yards. He also had five catches, by the way, in the game. Cam Akers had three carries for 0 yards. Did not start the game, was not injured, just simply did not have realistically the opportunities that we had initially anticipated. Cam Akers has said he was surprised by this, said he's had a conversation with Sean McVay where he said that he did not think that ultimately right now we were seeing an urgent Cam Akers. He just wasn't good enough. And call it a benching, if you will. Heading into week number two, what do you think about this Rams split here between Henderson and Akers?
It's really worrisome because it's when you're coming into this season, Kevin, or even when you were talking about the injury where Kenny come back last year, talking about Cam Akers and how explosive he can be. He's supposed to be a game breaker in professional football. When you have Cam Akers in your backfield for the Rams, that's supposed to be a plus. And it was very surprising week one where you said, even if it was going to be a 50-50 market share, okay, but more leaning towards Cam Akers in the big situations. And he was a, you know, non-starter. It didn't start the game, obviously, but a non-starter throughout the game where it didn't even come into your focus and say, boy, he can come in and really be a game changer. Now, you heard, you know, McVay come out and say, well, he's just not working hard enough in practice. Hey, I understand the kid's talented, but if you're missing blitz pickup and you're coming late to meetings and not putting in the effort, well, somebody else in the backfield is going to take your spot. But, Kevin, here's always the wrench that gets thrown into the equation where you say, well, maybe Henderson is the guy the rest of the year. What does McVay say? Boy, I love the way running back Cam Akers responded this week. So are we left to believe that he's back in the good graces of McVay? Or is this one of those things where he says, he showed a little bit of something this week. He's on his way back, and I like the way he practiced this week, but this is still going to be Henderson's team. This is a tough situation to let unfold. I guess in a perfect world, Cam Akers would really respond, and you have Henderson and Akers at a high level for the season, which is what McVay wants. But I'm still a little bit leery on what I'm getting out of Cam Akers, because if a coach can't trust you, no matter how talented you are, you're not getting in that football game.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I'm interested in whoever the low man is again on the board, right? I think that's probably the way to play it. I would anticipate Darrell Henderson will be booked stronger than Akers this week. They're a double-digit favorite versus the Atlanta Falcons, DRS. I know it's an assumption, but we should assume that in the fourth quarter, back end of it, more running plays are being called for the Los Angeles Rams. I early right now can tell you I'm leaning towards the Rams, despite that big spread versus the Falcons. Mm-hmm. So I think that if that's the case, right, and you're not in panic mode because the Bills are banging your heads against the floor, then maybe you let Cam Akers get right in the football game at minimum. And if he pops one, fantastic. Certainly something to follow. Another crowded running back room. This, though, talked about with more positivity than the last. The Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe you would disagree. Maybe you would say it's not crowded. But Donnie made a really good point last week on Moneyline on our Friday show. We were going through all the games. And he said, you know what's probably a good idea? Bet Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott anytime touchdown. You should get one of the two. We all know Miles Sanders isn't getting into the end zone. Egg on Donnie's face, right? Miles Sanders scoots on in. And then Kenneth Gainwell gets into the end zone. And then Boston Scott gets into the end zone. All three running backs, Donnie, scoring in this game. How do you approach this? Look, Miles Sanders had 13 carries compared to 5 for Gainwell and 4 for Scott. So if Sanders is healthy, he's the guy. But the chance for Nick Sirianni to give Miles Sanders 3 rushing touchdowns after he didn't score last year is one maybe I would have went with if I were Sirianni, if I were looking to put full confidence back in Miles Sanders. But he didn't. What do you do with the Eagles' backfield this week here? High-scoring total versus Minnesota on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, quite frankly, you could throw Jalen Hurts, I guess, into that backfield because he did have a rushing touchdown last week as well. So the ground game certainly back to where the Eagles want it to be. We'll see if that passing game can certainly equal that. But I think from a betting perspective and also moving forward just from an Eagles perspective, it's a pretty good look here because they trust everybody, apparently, Kevin, in the red zone. Typically, you see other teams with that goal line back or, you know, you're going to know Derrick Henry is going to get the football from a schematics process for the Philadelphia Eagles. You can't hone in like, oh, no, Miles Sanders coming in. He's not getting the football on the 3-yard line. No, like you have 3 or 4 guys that you know are capable of scoring touchdowns and will get the football. So from a betting perspective, outside of just looking at the Eagles, where it makes some sense to use all of those backs, take the low guys on the totem pole and double them up. It was simple for me last week. I figured to myself, if all three of these running backs were going to get a little bit of run, there was a really good chance that Miles Sanders would probably still be the lead back. And he was, he scored a touchdown and he scored the first touchdown. Like, he might be in for a 2 or 3 touchdown day where the backup's going to come in. But it's pretty clear that the Philadelphia Eagles really like Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell and trust them to score touchdowns, which they did in 2021 as well. Take the two guys with the low man on the total board for the Eagles, not parlay them up, but just take each side plus money. You're bound to win more than you lose, that's for sure.
Yeah, it again, it's 1 week, but that certainly could be the case there, where if the Eagles are supposed to have a big game, those guys are live. I thought it was interesting. Again, if I were Nick Sirianni, I think I'm getting Miles Sanders into the end zone multiple times based on last year. And by the way, the Kenneth Gainwell run was 2 yards and Boston Scott's was 1 yard. The point being, it's not as if he handed them the ball in the 20 and those guys broke in. Basically just design touchdown plays for those guys. It'd be really interesting to see where they're all booked this week. If anything, it's a sign to still be concerned on the workload for Miles Sanders on a week-to-week basis, at least from a touchdown perspective. The next one is one of the most frustrating ones to me of the week, probably the most. We had the top beat reporters in the sport, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, all of them. Damian Pierce is the starting running back for the Houston Texans, the lead running back for the Houston Texans. Finished the game with 11 carries for 33 yards, one target, one catch, 6 yards. The actual lead running back was Rex Burkhead, 14 carries, 40 yards, 8 targets, 5 catches, 30 yards. Donnie, 20-plus touches for Rex Burkhead. How did this happen?
In a close game, who did he trust more? The veteran, who might not be as talented, or the young guy, Damian Pierce? And here's my favorite part about this, is you're right. All of the hype coming into, I mean, it was quite honest, you know, amazing that the MVP race wasn't already shut down before week one. Not even talking about rookie of the year, MVP of how good this young kid would be. Maybe he is going to be good, but again, in the line of fire in a football game, it seems like Lovie trusted the veteran more, but also, you know, beat right. Hey, look, this guy's going to be the next, you know, second coming of things. But I loved what Lovie Smith said after the game, which is complete buffoonery at this point. You know, like, sort of got lost in it. And yeah, so maybe I'm worried about what are we talking about here? Like, who said everybody who's involved in the coaching staff, there's a game plan coming into there. And you think for one moment here that offensive coaches, including Lovie Smith, nobody was questioning, hey, by the way, why are we giving Rex the ball so many times? Oh, it's just in the game flow, coach. Don't worry about it. We'll work in Pierce. That makes no sense whatsoever. However, obviously, we were fed a bill of goods where this kid was going to be the first down back, second down back, and third down back, and there was nobody on that roster that would challenge. Because even us, Kevin, looking at the roster going, well, it's going to be Pierce. I mean, okay, Burkhead's a veteran guy. Maybe a spot come in there, carry or two just to give him a blow. But he was the lead back here. It'll be interesting to see week two here what we're going to get as they go to Denver if Rex Burkhead continues. I think everybody else basically told Lovie Smith, what are you doing, you idiot? Play the young kid. And he's like, you know what? I think I forgot during the game to actually play him.
At the end of the day, the idea, the game script dictated. You're supposed to be down by 10 every game. So what, I mean, I don't know what we're talking about. What game script is going to get you to hand the ball off to Damian Pierce? Down 14 to Denver this week in the fourth quarter? And you're letting Pierce chug along? I don't even understand it. And honestly, if you want to talk about, you know, things you need to circle next week, it's Rex Burkhead receptions and yards in the receiving market. He had 8 targets last week. Only Brandon Cooks had more. And again, this was a largely neutral game script there. Really surprising stuff out of Houston. Last one I want to get it in here, the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football. It's who the Houston Texans will play. Javonte Williams, labeled one of the breakout stars, it felt like, from the running back position. 7 carries for 43 yards. How about Melvin Gordon? 12 carries, 58 yards. But here's the difference maker. We ultimately had 2 targets for Melvin Gordon, 2 catches, 14 yards. Donnie, Javonte Williams, 12 targets, 11 catches, 65 yards. It looks like you back Javonte as a pass catcher and Melvin as a runner.
And by the way, I was actually first, you know, in the first and second quarter about to tweet out, like, Javonte Williams looks like a combination of, like, Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson. He is going to go wild on opening night. And when I woke up and saw the final box score going, what actually happened? Did he get injured? No, he didn't. But my goodness, the talent is there for Williams to be that lead dog all over the field. It'll be interesting to see how they use both of these guys. But I think you're right the way you're looking at it.
It looks like they really like Melvin Gordon still. But again, look, there's nothing a book can do early season. 12 targets for Javonte Williams. And, I mean, it was consistent. Love the check down did Russell Wilson in that football game. Let's talk Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night football, Chiefs, Chargers, Mahomes, Herbert. Fantastic action here. Really excited. We've already got a boost on the board. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the Chiefs have moved up to a 4.5-point favorite here. The total has moved down slightly to 53.5. You would anticipate that the Chiefs would be booked strongly at home, and they are. I think they've earned that over the course of time here, Donnie. But what do you think here? Has the number maybe gone a little too far with the Keenan Allen absence right now? 4.5 number on KC.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gone too far, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, if you're picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win the football game, I don't think you're haggling over, well, I don't think they can get it, Kevin, if you lay more than 3. No, you should have conviction here that the Chiefs are the better team. Or if it's the Chargers, you're not going into this game, Kevin, and saying to yourself, well, I think they can keep it close, therefore I'll take the 4.5 points. That's the wrong way to handicap it. If you don't think the Chargers can actually win the football game outright with strong conviction, you shouldn't be going that route. But it's very hard, and this is what I always try to preface. Week 2, we're going to have so much fun betting on games, you know, handicapping games, and taking some of these prop bets. But the sides are interesting because you saw last week, we knew the Chargers were going to be a good football team. The Chargers were favored to beat the Las Vegas Raiders. They did that. Now, they still had to have a nice little stop there on fourth down to stop the Raiders from scoring, which would end up causing them to lose that football game. There was no such struggle or issues, Kevin, on the road here for the Kansas City Chiefs, taking care of easily the Arizona Cardinals. So the one thing that's left in everybody's mind is, oh my goodness, Patrick Mahomes back to his MVP self. They're not missing Tyreek Hill. They went up and down the field. They should be able to do that in this Thursday night game. I somewhat would agree. But if you're looking to stop a high-powered offense, you know what the best thing is? Two ridiculously talented defensive ends collapsing that pocket repeatedly. You saw last week multiple sacks out of Khalil Mack, 1.5 sacks out of Bosa on the opposite side. Now, J.C. Jackson, it'll be interesting to see if he plays. If he plays and is healthy tonight, that is a massive win for the Los Angeles Chargers. But I don't actually think he's going to go, and if he does, probably be on a pitch count. It's a close game to look at because even last year, going over both of those football games, Kevin, we saw the final scores of where they ended up. And also keep in mind, the Chargers went to Arrowhead last year and beat the Chiefs outright. I'm not saying the Chargers can't win this game. I'm just saying, Kevin, I'm not betting on the Chargers.
Yeah, I hear that you're not betting on the Chargers, though I do disagree a bit with your initial assessment of the side here. I think with a high total, now, if you're backing the Chargers plus 4.5, but you think there's a 0% chance they win, that is a little odd. But the notion that the points have gone a little too far, I think, is also fair, because the world where this game is 7-0, then 7-7, then 14-7, then 14-14 is more than reasonable. The Chiefs are going to have to be up by 14 points, right, for you to feel good about laying that number with the Chiefs or have the football obviously up while covering. If there's 3 minutes left on the clock, right, and the Chiefs are up 10, you'll be a bit nervous with how this game is going to close, despite the fact that the Chiefs will be in pole position there. But I've not been interested in the side as much. I've been interested in the total. I think the Keenan Allen injury has actually provided us some value again on the over. No slight of Keenan Allen, despite his injury last week, actually finished as the leading receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. Last year, Keenan Allen was great in this matchup. In the first game, 6 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Or rather, that was in the second game. In the first game, 8 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. So he was great, both matchups last year as well. But last week, we saw Justin Herbert throw 3 touchdowns to 3 guys that some of you have maybe never heard of. And we didn't even see a big Mike Williams week. We know that he's had some big weeks against the Kansas City Chiefs and is capable of that. 53.5 to me looks light. I've said it. I think that this is a number that would be 4 points higher maybe when these teams meet again later on in the season. There's so much juice behind both of these offenses. The Raiders scored 17 points in the opening half and 24 points through 3 quarters up against the Vegas Raiders. And their coach came out, the offensive coordinator came out and said, yeah, I probably went a little too conservative. Too many run plays on first down there, even though we were up. They're going to look to push the ball a little more. And there's no time to be conservative against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs were the best offense in all of football in week number one. Yards per play, points scored, total, anything you want, the Kansas City Chiefs were that team. They were phenomenal. 66 plays, 33 first downs. Dominant fashion. Mahomes, 5 passing touchdowns. I think both these quarterbacks have a chance to throw 3 passing touchdowns tonight. Maybe not, if not more. I'm sure we'll talk some match specials here. I like over here tonight in Chiefs-Chargers at 53.5, Donnie.
Yeah, no, I can say it. I certainly can. And how many times did we look at some of these games and even talking about the match specials where, boy, it seemed like it was a lot easier to cash in some of those tickets early in the season as opposed to late in the season. Why? You're worried about 35-degree temperatures, windy conditions, maybe some snow in the forecast, which might be possible there in Kansas City. But early in the season, most of these guys are ready to go. And also keep in mind, the thing I never try to overcompensate for this. The defenses, I mean, still somewhat to the offenses as well, but at least the offenses know what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball and not also on defense where you're trying to react to it. You're getting into the game, Kevin. Play 40, play 50, play 60. These guys haven't done that yet in training camp. Now you're going for a full 4 quarters in the heat here in a primetime game. Sometimes those defenses wear down in the fourth quarter and an ultimate advantage pops up here for the offense. But if you're looking at 2 pure quarterbacks in this game, Patrick Mahomes on one side, you know, Herbert on the other, it doesn't get any better. And also feeding into that total, which we talked about in the first couple segments of the show, the kicking advantage that you have, which you probably thought would come to the Kansas City Chiefs, you don't have that anymore. So instead of kicking or settling for a 50-yard field goal on 4th and 1 or 2, you're probably going for it if you're Andy Reid. And also, as we always take a look at Staley on the opposite side, to his detriment, he goes for it on 4th down. So if we're not kicking field goals, which again, if you are an underbacker, you don't care if they kick 10 field goals, because that just means it's only 30 total points at that point, as opposed to 10 total touchdowns. You'll take that each and every time. So I think there's an opportunity for more touchdowns to be scored with more opportunity. I think both of these coaches will be aggressive, Kevin. I think that's going to help your overlook here tonight.
Yeah, it certainly would. Let's talk some props. I know we always talk the touchdown score market. If you pin me down for a best bet in this game, it might be Austin Eckler. Anytime touchdown minus 135. I know Eckler didn't get into the end zone last week. Not a common occurrence last season. Touchdown in 13 of his 16 games played. 8 straight games to end last year's regular season he scored, and scored in both games versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And ultimately, Austin Eckler has an ability to do it either through the air or on the ground. 12 rushing touchdowns, 8 receiving touchdowns last season. Austin Eckler at minus 135, I think, Donnie's a good bet for an anytime touchdown score.
Yeah, if you're looking at the top of the board here, it's hard to find over or what perceived value would be, right? Because typically, say a touchdown prop, I want to make sure I get plus money. Let me see, Travis Kelce's a minus 145, and for good reason. He's going to probably get 10-plus targets in this game. And the same thing with Austin Eckler, which we're going to follow into some of these prop bets a little bit down the road. I'm very high on Austin Eckler tonight, and I think his usage rate will be high. If I think that's the case, a minus 135 here, anytime touchdown at the FanDuel Sportsbook does make a lot of sense. But I always like to say, let's go down a little bit, right? Hey, last week, Donnie, who'd you like to score a touchdown? Well, Nick Chubb was a plus 100. He didn't get in, but Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell both got in for the Philadelphia Eagles at ridiculously high prices, one in the plus 300 range, one in the plus 500 range. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. Now, it's not in the plus 500 range, but we'll keep it above a 3-to-1 price. Isaiah Pacheco, plus 360, got 12 carries last week, close to 60 yards on the ground, and also a touchdown. I think more of the same, where if you're Andy Reid, you're still trying to keep teams off balance. We heard a lot of good stuff out of this player in the offseason, and I think it continues tonight. If there's a chance to get him a goal line carry, I do believe they'll get it for him. And sometimes if you say, hey, Donnie, he's going to get 2 touches in the red zone tonight, I'll take my chances at a plus 360. I'll swing for a little bit of the fences here and go Isaiah Pacheco anytime touchdown at a plus 360 price.
How about that? Taking a swing down the board. CEH last week was into the end zone twice, actually.
Yeah, a couple times.
Both through the air, which is a little surprising for CEH. On terms of yardage props, Pat Mahomes is 295.5 for a passing yard total. In 2019, he played a month of football without Tyreek Hill. It was the last time he was out there without Tyreek. And he had thrown for 315 yards in all 4 of those games. That trend continued against the Cardinals. Why he throws for 315 yards every single time he plays without Tyreek? I don't know. But it is. That's what it's been now. Donnie, for the last 5 times, 295.5 is his number. The passing touchdown props here, 1.5 on Herbert, but it's -215. Mahomes is 2.5 at +114. The thing is, because I'll likely be on the over here, I don't know if I'm going to get into the specifics of the passing touchdowns market, but are you looking at these quarterbacks or are you going to some of the skill position players, receivers, and running backs?
Yeah, I think more likely the skill position players because you're looking at that too. It's still, look, I know it's Patrick Mahomes. He went off last week. And again, as I always talk about a running mate here, if Arizona really challenged them, those numbers would have been astronomical for Patrick Mahomes. So you say, hey, should he get 300 yards? Yes. It's still 300 yards. That's still a benchmark in the NFL where if this game might be a little bit lower scoring, there's no guarantee Patrick Mahomes throws for over 300. Same thing with Justin Herbert, 279.5. Should he get there? Yes. But no Keenan Allen. You're on the road in Kansas City, a tougher environment to play. Short work week. We'll see if that makes a little bit of a difference here. But I'm going to go towards the receiving prop and not actually, Kevin, towards a receiver. As you brought up, you like Austin Ekeler to score an anytime touchdown, and I do agree with that. But I'm actually going to see his increase here in his receptions and also in his yards. I took the over 39.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which for a running back, a 40 number is pretty expensive as a price. But if you're going to be down Keenan Allen, you can also see some sets out here where Austin Ekeler is going to line up in the slot and his usage rate should go higher. If I do think the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin, are going to win this football game, you know what else I also think? Late in the fourth quarter, Austin Ekeler is going to get a lot of dump passes out of the backfield and maybe some action from the slot since he'll no longer be running the football. Austin Ekeler, I expect, is going to have a nice usage rate game, and I'll bet he gets over 40 yards tonight to cash in that reception prop.
Understandable. Travis Kelce, I know he's got the high number right now, but that same sample size I mentioned with Mahomes, those five games, Travis Kelce's had 85-plus yards in four of those five. His number's 80.5. Travis Kelce in week number one, 8 catches, 121 yards. Last year versus the Chargers, 7 catches, 104. And then the wild overtime game, he had 10 catches for 191 yards and 2 touchdowns. Look, we've talked about the absence of Tyreek Hill, but I think Travis Kelce, has he been seen as the more important of the two? Maybe so, maybe not, but I know that at least Kelsey's still there. And if someone's going to step up and benefit, it's probably going to be Travis Kelce at 80.5 receiving yards. Kelce feels like he might start getting booked like Cooper Kupp, to be honest with you, Donnie, in terms of yardage totals here with how everything looks. The boost on the board tonight, the Chiefs and the Chargers, each to score a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown at +250. Very tempting. Do you think you'll be on that or any other specials here in this game?
Yeah, one plus touchdown every quarter, Kevin, is a dog price at a +105. I do like that passing prop where passing touchdown and rushing prop at a +250 does make some sense. And also, how about this? You know, I can't go wrong here. Mahomes and Herbert, one plus touchdown each half at a +190 price. That's probably my favorite of all of them, to be honest.
That's it's not a bad idea. The 504 -190.
It's crazy.
Never seen. Seen it that high. By the way, an interesting prop: Mike Williams and Travis Kelce to combine for 175 receiving yards. It's a lot of yards, but if you look at their totals and everything, it maybe jumps out a little bit more. Now, where's the light touchdown score combination? What do you know? CH Ekeler, Juju, Mike Williams for. Come on, man. Where's Travis Kelce in a month?
Wait, threes. We need threes.
Come on. Listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day for a Thursday right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. As always, Donnie Wrightside, myself, and Kevin Walsh carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid programming throughout the day. A lot of topics we went over today and also tonight. Great game here. Chargers versus the Chiefs. Keep in mind, people, it's on Amazon Prime tonight, so make sure you're able to find your way before kickoff at 8:15 Eastern. We went over the spreads, we went over the totals, some hot bets to have, but there's another topic here in the NFL that I want to center on, and it deals with Dak Prescott, so listen up. Hey, did you just hear that? Be quiet. All right, the hot topic in the NFL each and every week, it seems every single year, something going either good or bad with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, a tough loss on opening night to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which many of us did expect that to actually take place, but not Dak Prescott going down for multiple weeks with a broken thumb. Dak Prescott does get surgery. Looks like they repaired his thumb quite well, and he is healing from the time he had that surgery till now, till maybe 4 weeks or so. But the reason that we're not going on to IR, talking about Dak Prescott from a Cowboys perspective, is they want him around the team, in the building, watching practice, in the meetings, so he can come back sooner than later, and at any time, if he's ready, he can return. Not waiting on the restrictions when the IR, you know, tag would certainly dissolve. But at this point, Mike McCarthy says, hey, Dak Prescott, we can't have you at practice so we can save you from yourself. So I read that to believe where Dak Prescott has a broken thumb, but he's going to try to get under center in practice in the first week and re-break the thumb. What is going on here, Dallas? If you were worried about Dak Prescott being around practice and doing something bad to his thumb, you know what you do? You put him on IR so he can't be at practice and you save him from himself and you get your extra roster spot on Sunday afternoon. The Dallas Cowboys always making it more and more difficult on themselves than it really needs to be. But stay tuned right here. Ben Stevens has you covered on the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.